broadcasting live. Weekday morning, this is listener-supported One Radio Network.
Oh my God, dare we do this? This is Barry Manilow? Oh my goodness. Oh. God love Barry.
OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com.
Tony, I had visions of cute ladies running around with bananas and fruit on their heads. So it was pretty fun. There was a visual there I had.
See, you had an enlightened vision from the universe.
Is that what it was? Listening
to Barry Manilow and the wonderful Manilow.
It doesn't get much better than that. Does it? Barry Manilow on a Monday morning. Oh, my God. What a great song. Okay, July 10, 2017 with Tony Pantelarisco up in Windsor. What summer's like up there for you guys weather-wise?
Before or after chemtrails?
Well,
before,
you know, don't do that. Just tell me what's like, the weather's like.
Well, it's unpredictable. This is the most unpredictable season
just
I have
off
ever
and on,
seen.
Huh? Yeah, off and on.
Well, you may have one day where you're up in the 80s, 90s, yep. And then you'll have five straight days in a row where you're down in the 50s and 60s.
Wow.
This is very unusual for us. Usually our summers here, by the time we reach May, we're about 80 in the 80s, uh-huh. Start getting into the 80s. When we get into July and August, basically it's a sweatshop up here. You basically just breathe and sweat because of the humidity that's here.
Yeah.
So, but this year...
Who knows, right?
It's been, like I said, okay, yesterday we had whatever kind of day we had. This morning it rained. I don't know what's going to be like this afternoon. And that's what I mean, before or after chemtrails. Because before we had a stable weather environment. Now it is from day to day, from one part of the day to the end of the day, the weather can shift all kinds of ways here without a notice. So you really don't know how to answer that question. The best word for it would be unpredictable.
Unpredictable. Well, but of course the oceans are going to rise and all the polar bears are going to die and we're all going to be underwater anyway, so it doesn't matter. I think it's curious and how the media around the world, most of the media around the world, hates President Trump because he again poked a giant in the eye by saying the G20 this past weekend, you know, this whole climate change thing, not so much. We're not in. And all the countries are trying to get, no, come on, Mr. President, you can be in. It'll be fun. You know,
Why, you know why they were crying about that? Because the United States is the largest contributor to that insanity.
Well, I know. It's just... But
and they're not doing anything about it. I mean, I've had people contact me from Washington and other places in the U.S. who have written to Mr. Trump about the chemtrails, and they have not got a response. Well, I said, don't hold your breath.
No, he could never admit that those things are going on.
Yeah. He's just a representative of a corporation. He gets his orders from somebody else. So when you're
I'm talking about on the good side, though. The United States, under his administration, is not buying into this whole man-made global warming, cap and trade, nonsense that's going on that the world wants to sell everybody on. It's all about, it's this whole Al Gore thing, Tony, with CO2 is causing the world to end and all that. It's just nonsense, in my opinion, but nobody listens to me.
Well, Al Gore took some facts. And then he, exploited those facts with his own concepts. There's no such thing as a global warming. In fact, everything I'm seeing says the opposite. We're heading toward global cooling. And the hottest it ever got was in around 1930, when the temperatures had surged. And this is without any kind of interference from manufacturers or anything like this, the carbon and whatever. This did it because of the way the sun had shifted or the way the earth had shifted a little bit.
Yeah, the sunspots and all that.
It had nothing to do with our, because they're always blaming man. Man is responsible. Man is responsible.
Oh, sure, because those are the people you can tax and control, right?
Right.
You blame the guys. Blame the guys. Oh, yeah. No, you guys did it all. I know.
Yeah, so it is a cash grab. So his fantasy, you know, he made a boatload of money. Then he brought these bloody CFLs here, which are extremely lethal. If you drop one of those things in your house and they break, you got to call a hazmat team to come in and clean that up because of the mercury in these bulbs. And the light that they're emitting, it's the wrong frequency.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. You know, the CFLs, just so you know, too, Tony, I don't know, you're probably aware of this. You mentioned frequency. You can put a meter on the, and I've got meters to measure this, and the body voltage that goes in the body, which is not good, you know, the actual, when you point your finger, I mean, if you put a meter on with a little clip, you know, like when you're doing EKG, which I've got a little alligator things, and put a meter on your chest, and then you put your finger towards the bulb, you know, 3 feet away from the CFL, it raises the voltage in the body. You can see it on a meter. This is not bad science, man. It's easy to measure.
No. What you're saying is real. That's
I know,
all
man. It's as real as you get.
It's all real.
And boy, you go to Home Depot and you got to look to find a non CFL bulb.
I mean,
you got to hunt and peck, you know, to find a incandescent. They still have a few, but not very many.
If you want, for those people, don't go outside. A lot of people don't go outside anymore because of the environment that's going on out there. A lot of people are stuck in an office all day because that's what they do, you know. So go to a pet shop.
Yeah.
And they got these lights for reptiles. Oh. And they got some that are heated and some that are non-heat. They got a 50-watt light that is the complete spectrum of the sun. So if you're taking any kind of vitamin D, you better be sitting under that light, because that vitamin D requires certain frequencies from the spectrum of light that the sun gives, and we're not getting that through because of the high concentration of particulates and nanodust that's in the atmosphere, and plus what they're chemtrailing. So if you are indoors, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have a little lamp pointing at you all day long.
Is there a color to this lamp, or is it just a white?
No. It's just you know.
It keeps lizards warm, like lizard lamps.
No. This one doesn't. This one basically just a light. Huh. You know, that emits the frequencies of the sun.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
But they do have them where they do heat. They have the heat as well. So get the non-heated ones, and again, just aim it at you. I got two of them aiming at me all the time when I'm on my computer. Because I don't get to go out that much anymore either because of the constraints of what I do.
Well, plus, too, you know, you got such a fan base, and all the girls would, you know, they'd be screaming and yelling if you went outside. You know, I mean, come on. You just can't do that.
See, again, I want to have what you're smoking. You need to share that with me.
I need to share. Okay, I will. I'll send you up some, yeah. Okay, 888-663-6386. Go to the telephone and take our chances. Good morning. Hello, who's this?
Hi, Patrick. This is Julie from Minnesota. How are you?
Well, you're almost to Tony. You could probably be a short train ride.
I'm calling for Tony, yes.
Well, you're on the air with him. Go ahead.
Okay. I had a sinus infection this winter that I had one heck of a time trying to get rid of. I did the neti pot. I did the fibrillator, or is it called the fibrillator? And I put some stuff.
Oh, nebulizer.
Nebulizer. Right. I'm sorry. Yes, nebulizer. I did the nebulizer, and I put colloidal silver in there and some things that you had suggested. And for some reason or other, it seems to be something's lodged in my throat now, and I don't have a clear voice anymore. I seem to get a frog in my throat, and I can't get this cleared up. Can you give me some advice on how to
frog in the
pull
throat.
This thing out of my throat?
Frog in the throat.
Sure. Go get some vinegar and honey, mix it together, and some water, and drink it.
Vinegar and honey.
You need. This is where you need acid. So we're going back to acid. You got to do some acid, man.
Get some acid.
Take some vinegar.
Yeah.
Take a teaspoon of vinegar, teaspoon to tablespoon, a glass of water, dissolve some honey in it, and start drinking it. And what that'll do is, if it's a hardened form of mucus, the acid will start breaking that down. And the honey will act as a coating so that it doesn't, you don't get hurt with it. And so it'll coat the esophageal lining as well. So, and it does produce a healthy bacteria. So all in all, that's probably the easiest and simplest way to do it. And then start using iodine, Lugol's iodine. I get people doing 10 drops three times a day in water. And that'll super boost your immune system as well. You may find you may lose a little body mass as a result because it has a thermogenic effect because the way it stimulates the body to burn fat. It's a brain nutrient as well. It's an immune enhancer. So this is some of the things that you can do. You can even put the iodine in there with the vinegar and the honey and mix it up.
Just drink it on down.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Can I ask one more quick question?
No, not a chance. There's just no way. We can't allow it. Go ahead.
I just got the essential oil of, to pull the nanoparticles, essential oil.
Which one did you get?
To pull nanoparticles, you talk about that in your video, Tony. You mix it with alcohol.
It's the biofilm buster.
What's the essential oil, Tony, you use?
Okay.
She may have gotten thyme and maybe a maybe an oregano, summer savory. There you go. Yeah, summer savory and thyme.
Okay.
Put one drop each. You put one drop each in a shot of brandy or vodka, and down you go.
Down you go. Down the hatch.
And brandy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And brandy. Yep.
All right. Great. Okay.
Right?
Thank you, Tony.
All right, sweet.
Bye bye.
Tony, did you hear my little story about the lung thing? That was kind of fun. And I looked into my book. What's the name of that book?
The Practice of Aromatherapy
by Jean Vallée.
Jean Vallée.
And we have it on our website, on our store. It's a great little book that Tony turned us on to some years ago. So I was reading there last night. I said, well, you know, I've been really practicing some deep breathing things, and I'd like to get a little more juice in my lungs if I can. And so I saw the thyme was one of the number one things.
Oh, yeah. Believe it or not, it's got a higher ORAC value than oregano.
Isn't that crazy?
It's got even the same cabracol that the oregano has. It has a thyme and other antioxidants as well.
Hmm.
I prefer thyme over oregano.
It's not as hot. It's not as hot. It's easier to deal with.
It depends which type of thyme you use. It can be.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about oregano, too, what they're doing basically the same thing. They're taking the essential oil of oregano because they're still in the oregano, and they're fusing it with the olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
The olive oil is acting as a carrier so that the oregano doesn't burn your esophageal lining on the way down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's all that is. So on one video, we showed you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
When I made it on the video, I made it very weak. I had 10 drops to an ounce of oil. But one guy contacted me and says, in order to get the effect, you have to put 80 drops in. So that's about right. You would need about 80 drops to get it going. But I can't just tell people to do 80 drops out in the open public. They can figure this out for themselves.
Now, in the aromatherapy, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If they do too much, they can damage themselves. So a lot of times when I do things on the video, it's very on a very minimal side. So you can always go up or tweak them.
Now, in the aromatherapy book, they generally say, if you're going to do some of these essential oils for this or that, whatever, a little tummy ache or I don't know, whatever, you do about 3 drops in some water. Do you think that's a good place to start, 3 drops?
Yeah, water's fine. Water, oil, you know, the sugar cube thing that Daniel's talking about.
I'm talking about the amount of essential oils. Is it fine?
Oh,
Each
drop is like 100 times stronger than the original plant.
Because you're
consolidating a bunch of plants to distill that oil out of it. So they're extremely powerful.
Very, very. But you got to be careful then, Tony, with essential oils. You don't want to overdo it, right? Because they could be too strong.
Well, you could. Well, you'll only overdo it once.
You'll know.
Once you feel the pain of that, you know, you've learned your lesson. If you are going to take them orally, do the research. There's some you shouldn't take, like Tansy is one of them that you shouldn't take orally. It can have toxic side effects. But you must use a carrier, some kind, water, alcohol, fat. Put them in milk. You know, you can also use milk as a carrier. So they have to have a carrier. Turpentine is an essential oil. It's a distillation from pine or balsam.
That's why we don't take that straight, because it's very strong. Yeah. It's a solvent, right? Even like DMSO, right? You would never take that straight. Yeah.
Well, DMSO, if you take that orally, you have to dilute that down to 1 to 5%. That's it. You don't go any higher than that, because anything more than that, it'll get into the brain and cause you problems. So
1%. So if you did one drop of essential of DMSO, you'd have to have 100 drops of water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good dilution, because it can go right to the brain and do not good things, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. What are Tony's favorite applications or uses of frankincense essential oil? Frankincense.
Quite frankly, I don't use it.
It's a pretty cool one. It's great.
Yeah, I've never
put on your skin. Have you ever done that, Tony? It's really good on your skin.
Oh yeah, I've used it, but I mean, as far as use for the basic oils that I use, they're very fundamental that anybody can get a hold of, and they all work pretty well if you know how to use them. They'll do the same thing. So, with the essential oils, the big ones I would go with are like thyme, birch, wintergreen, savory, rosemary, sage, cedar. Cedar is the biggie.
Cedar is a good one for the lungs too, right? Cedar?
Oh, that's cancer, lungs, circulation, brain. I mean, it's got a ton of things. And again, if you took a drop of that and say a glass of water and we went out camping, again, you would be exuding the cedar from your port.
Can you do essential oils, a drop or so in the nebulizer?
Oh, yeah.
Can you?
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's got to be diluted.
Of course, we always use distilled water or something as a carrier, right? But a drop is fine.
Well, it should be okay. You're talking about the one you put on your face that you breathe, or you're talking about like the humidifier?
The nebulizer, where you breathe into your lungs, you hold the thing and breathe it in.
Yeah, you can use it. Sure, you can.
Goes right in there.
I mean, if something like that, I probably would tell you to even use thyme or peppermint. For something like that.
What does that do, peppermint?
Peppermint has got some pretty powerful antifungal, antibacterial properties. It kills three different types of bacteria. Hmm. It has a high level of oxygenation, and it's the only oil that has a specific ingredient in it, again, for dealing with certain specifics. Right off the top of my head, I forget what they are. But it's the only one that has it in it. And it's a lot of these, for instance, the phenols and the terpenoids, phenols and what's the other one? Anyway, the phenols phenols actually go in and actually clean the cell. They wipe the cell, they push stuff out of the cell, and then there's another antioxidant as well that does the same thing in the essential oil realm. So sometimes when you're looking at certain chemistry of these oils, you can combine them in a certain way to target cellular cleansing, or tissue cleansing, or again, reinforcing the immune system, or fighting off whatever. So they have a variety of things you can do with them. They're extremely powerful. Respect them. Don't fear them. Respect them. Respect the uses of them. Don't be shy to use them. For instance, you can get the citrus, orange, tangerine, lemon, lime, whatever. And you can put them on. You can make a 7-Up with these, or like a pop-like material. You add a drop or two in your glass of water, add a little baking soda, add a little citric acid, stir it up, and you just made whatever flavor pop you would drink. And this, the combination of the citric acid and the essential oil, citric acid goes in and also helps detoxify aluminum. It also goes into the tissues and carries whatever with it into the tissues. So plus whatever oils you're using, for instance, let's say you're using lemon or lime, they have something in it called limonene, which again breaks open any kind
of... that one, limonene,
Okay, so you got that coming from that. So like I said, they all will benefit you. And again, the way you combine them will get the results you're looking for. But they're all extremely very potent products that, you know, you should be using, especially in today's times. You know, I've often stated today on my shows and other places and with people, the key to your health today is protecting your genetic code, your chromosomes, your DNA, your mitochondria, your enzyme activity, and your ATP production. These are going to be vital, because without that, maintaining these things with the right chemicals that you need to put in your body, you will decompose and accelerate your aging rapidly because of the because of our environmental exposure.
I'm just notified by Lynn. She keeps an eye on these things. That book is not in our store for some reason, but I will ask Sharon to put it in. She's still helping out us. The Practice of Aromatherapy, a classic compendium of plant medicines. But you can click on the Amazon link on One Radio Network so you shop through our site, if you would, please. They give us a little commish, and it's a prime $13 delivered to your door, The Practice of Aromatherapy. It really is a nice little book. I appreciate you sending that, turning us on to that, by Jean Vallée, The Practice of Aromatherapy. It's on Amazon. All right, let's see here. What do we got? Other than bananas, what's the best food to get potassium and the best potassium supplements? This is from Debbie.
Okay, bananas are not a good source of potassium, because unless you're eating them black, if you don't eat them black, then the sugar in the banana will displace the potassium. So that's been an erroneous assumption for a long time. Kiwi, potatoes, avocados are the highest sources of potassium you're going to get, even more than a banana.
Kiwi, potatoes, you mean like the bakers, all kinds of potatoes?
Any potato. They have a higher concentration of potassium, and so does avocado. So those would be your choices as far as getting your potassium. And then for supplement, you need to go with a citrate or a chloride. Those would be more, again, one goes into the tissue, one goes into the cell. So, and you need the potassium chloride, because the chloride also acts as a cleansing agent. It also produces hydrochloric acid in the body, and again allows the potassium to work with sodium properly with the cells.
Okay, cool. Good job. Let's see here. Where are we? Tony, I fed my dog the highest costing non-grain dry dog food when my arm was broken, and he developed mange. Wow. What can I do to help him grow back hair and eradicate the mange?
These
kibble foods, boy, they're tough, you know, even the good ones, yeah.
You have to realize that all your dog foods being sold in your mainstream stores, they are all garbage. They're actually using dead dogs, dead cats, experimental animals that they use in universities, dead whales that they won't process in one country, they bring over here. It's just, and then plus the way they cook the stuff and the amount of genetic material they put in there with it, and then they have to sweeten it up in order to get the animal to eat it. So even if it's a dry food, like you're saying, they shouldn't be eating dry food. This is a dog. Dogs are carnivores. Carnivores eat meat. Okay, cats and dogs shouldn't be fed any of this box dry nonsense. You're basically cutting the lifespan of your animal. The mange is a indication that the dog is deficient. So I'd be getting him on a mineral supplement, an electrolyte supplement. I'd be getting him on some saturated fats, coconut oil, butter, cocoa butter, ghee, MCT oil, things like this, tallow, lard.
Give all it kind to of them. Stuff. Yep.
You might want also to help with the hair, get him on the sulfur, the MSM, put a teaspoon of that in his food and put it in his water. That'll help regenerate that and get him off whatever you're feeding him. Obviously, what you fed the dog didn't work.
Obviously, yeah. And, you know, one of the easiest things you can do, even if you can't afford organic chicken, you can get chicken from the food store. A lot of the food stores have, what do they call it, antibiotic-free, and it's not organic, pretty inexpensive, and you can feed them those wings, and dogs do very well on that, just so it's raw. Don't cook any chicken for the dogs. Just so it's raw, they do really good on it. John says, I've been looking for a clean, affordable zinc and selenium supplements, and I've been taking Tony's advice and never swallow the cap. Okay, I just rather empty the contents into a smoothie or something. And I'm now taking time to read contents on the bottles a little bit better. Now, if I can mention brands, but here goes. Sure you can. The brand of zinc been using is Blue Bonnet brand zinc piconate. It contains vegetable cellulose. I thought it was just the capsule, but I'm starting to think it's part of the filler too, so I'm going to give this a miss in the future. The mission now is to hunt for a cleaner source of zinc. For selenium, now using the Now brand selenium, it states it has stearic acid. Is this an issue? Thanks for your help.
So, no, stearic acid, believe
okay.
it or not.
It's okay.
Yeah, yeah, and you know what it does? This is interesting about stearic acid. This mm-hmm. is why I cannot understand how they came up with this horse hockey about magnesium stearate.
Horse stearic hockey? Acid. How dear? Horse hockey?
Well, you won't let me say the other word.
I know. Horse hockey. I like it, though. It's good. It's good.
You know, the horse hockey on it was stearic acid actually converts to oleic acid. It's one of the things it does convert to. And oleic acid supports the heart. The heart uses stearic acid as well. It also uses the magnesium. What they did is they combined an element with an acid. You couldn't get a better combination. So when they're saying that this stuff can cause these problems, the problem is the magnesium stearate is mixed with the microcrystalline cellulose, the silicon dioxide, the aluminum lake, and all these other, the soy and all this other crap they mix in these excipients with these pills. That's the problem. And magnesium stearate, if you see magnesium stearate, stearic acid, whatever, don't worry about it. That's an acid that comes from cow fat. That's where they extract it from.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Again, this is one of those things I just scratch my head at. And so the only thing I could think about when they did this was to market a specific brand of vitamins that they left that out of. And so that, to me, is a marketing.
Yeah. I don't know where it came from, but it started about 5 years ago. And it went all over the interweb that Al Gore invented just before he invented global warming. Was that?
I know where it started. I just didn't mention any names because, again, it's just called
the devil, and you just don't want it, and blah, 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 blah. You know, you just got to be careful. Okay, also, for selenium, now brand of selenium, stearic acid. Oh, so we covered that. Let's see. Oh, I guess he wanted a clean, affordable zinc. What do you have a zinc thing?
Okay, go to... Your best bet for that, seriously, you can go to either Peak Nutrition or Pure Bulk. Start buying your stuff in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
And you can ask them for the measuring spoons so you can see what an actual milligram. When you look at what 50 milligrams is or 100 milligrams is, it's like two little dots on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Hardly nothing. So basically, when you're seeing something that has, you know, 100 milligrams of something in it, and you're in a 500 milligram capsule, that means you've got 400 milligrams of filler. Okay, so, and then if you're buying a tablet.
Whoa,
wait
a minute. Are you saying 100 milligrams is just a little dot?
I'm telling you, Patrick, I got the measuring spoons.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you're measuring 50 or 100 milligrams, yeah. It's nothing.
Nothing.
It's like a poof.
So,
kind of thing.
So wait a minute, this 100 milligram. B2, I just gave Doodle this morning, was in a yep. little cap. What's all the other stuff that it's not on the label?
Again, I don't know what brand you got.
Now, so it's a Now brand that I usually okay. pretty good now.
Read, yeah, Now is not bad. Now is actually
pretty
one
good.
Of the better
yeah,
companies.
Yeah, yeah, they're one of the better ones, I think, too, Tony. But, I mean, yeah. What could they have in there if I used to have one of those measuring spoons? You know, by the way, as a side note, you can go on Amazon, go through our website, and you can get these little measuring spoons, and they're very cheap. They're called, just type in 100 milligram measuring. What size would you recommend people get if they buy a little measuring spoon?
I mean,
a 50, 100?
Well, basically, it depends what they're making. I mean, if they're going
to
be making
just to have
like
some
zinc,
at home, if they're going to buy this stuff in bulk,
if,
maybe
100. If you're going to make zinc, for instance, mm-hmm. you want to use a 50 milligram spoon. If you're going to make selenium, basically selenium has to be mixed anyway, so... Basically, you would have to measure that off and figure out the math. But let's say you put a teaspoon of selenium powder and maybe 100 grams of, whatever you want to mix it with, baking soda or whatever. And then you'd have to figure the math because, again, that one you shouldn't really exceed 5 milligrams. Actually, you can take a higher concentration of selenium if you make a liposome out of it. you can go up to like 750 milligrams of selenium without any side effects. It's incredible with the information I found on this. Actually, somebody sent it to me from New Jersey. A fellow down there had the information on a doctor named Ravici. And this guy was formulating things. He was way ahead of his time. Light years ahead.
Oh, yeah, Ravici. Yeah, we know him. He's a cool guy. Okay.
He was curing people with the what they called AIDS, which is not a which is an acronym, but the viruses they were infected with, he was actually curing them. And then he got ostracized by the medical establishment because he was curing people that who had apparently at the time incurable issues, and yet he was able to fix everybody. So, like I said, there's like 1 or 2% of the medical field actually do care. The rest, you know, it's a hunt. It's really a hunt. And as the medical field keeps trying to push out the good guys, you might want to follow those good guys afterwards and, you know, sustain them and support them. If they can help you find a solution, those are the people you should be supporting, mm-hmm. not these morons that are just peddling drugs at you all the time. Mm-hmm. You're not getting fixed. You're not getting healed. You're not recovering. You're being treated and sedated and seduced with these medicines. So this is not something you really need to be doing. So if you do find somebody, wherever it may be, whether it's a CAM, a medical practitioner that really does care, an alternative, or be a herbalist, or a good naturopath, because it's about the same in a naturopathy these days. You have maybe 1 or 2% that really do know what they're doing. The rest are just pushing, you know, useless supplements that don't do anything for you except line their pockets. So really investigate. If you find a good aromatherapist that is helping you using aromatherapy or whatever type of healer you're finding, you know, that does work, you should not only support them but spread their name as well, because then they stay in business. You eliminate the competition from the other side, because eventually they don't see any more people and the other people are seeing them. They go broke.
They go broke. Tony Pantelarisco, Patrick Timpone. It is OneRadioNetwork.com. We're here on a Monday, July 10, 2017. We're going to have fun talking about inflammation, Paul, tomorrow, and also the ego. And probably the ego will inflame you, so don't add those two together. Okay, let's see here. Let's see. I want to see if you could tell me the Hulda Clark protocol for parasites using essential oils that you mentioned some time ago on your show. I can't find it. It's got thyme, allspice, coriander. Oh, I mentioned that. Sure. If you just go on One Radio Network, type in parasites, Hulda Clark, something like that, you'll see a report. It's called New Concepts Report. And click on that, and they have some real common ones. Tony, remember you mentioned thyme, allspice, coriander, yep. A couple other ones that I put in capsules, and after 2 days, this long worm entered, left my, it left the building with Elvis, is all I can tell you. So, pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting how these common, that little formula she came up with, it's pretty amazing.
Any of the, like I said, these things are extremely potent, you know, and awesome. They have a lot of healing merit. They, for years and years, were telling people they're not for oral consumption. Even the ones on the bottle are saying this. They have to put that on the bottle, because if they don't, some people just don't have it all together upstairs, and so they'll abuse it. Mm-hmm. And they think because it's a little thing, they can take more, and you can wind up seriously causing some internal damage if you take more than drop amounts. So, again, you can consume these things orally. But, again, let me remind you or reiterate this. You need to have a carrier with them. Doesn't matter what kind of carrier, whether it's a sugar cube, whether it's a glass of water, a glass of wine, vodka, fat of any kind, oils of any kind, dairy products of any kind. You have to have a carrier.
Have to have a carrier. Kind of like an aircraft carrier. If you put in Hulda Clark parasites in our One Radio Network search engine, the first thing that comes up is called a New Concepts Report. It's a PDF, and you just go on there, and that gives you the exact way to do that essential oil formula that may just be fun to play with if you like to do that. Here's an email for you, Tony. My friend is experimenting with topical atomic iodine diluted in natural aloe vera based solution. He's talking about the Edgar Cayce stuff, the atomidized. After several days, a small blister appears to be filled with water, begins to form. Is this a detox effect or a sign of skin irritation from the iodine? I don't know. What do you think?
It's a skin irritation. You can get the same effect if you put one drop of essential oil on a spot and you do it daily. About the third day, you'll get the same effect. It might be too strong. What he's doing.
He's using it as a lotion. I see.
Yeah.
So he's got some aloe. Wow. And it formed a little blister.
Hmm. Yeah. Again, it's a very powerful product. So he may have put too much in there or didn't dilute it enough. So it causes issues. So he either has to dilute it and back off for a couple of days to allow the skin to heal. And if you're going to reapply it again, dilute it more because you've got it too strong.
What are the benefits of applying zinc topically to the skin? Any benefits?
It's a sun deflector.
Yeah.
It does absorb. It does, again, boost the immune system for the guys. It can help with the going towards testosterone. It is a brain tonic, so you will absorb that through the skin, and you will get those benefits. It does. It has over 100 and it activates, I believe, over 80 enzymes, 80 to 100 enzymes in the body. So it's a key player with copper and manganese. With manganese, you combine zinc with manganese, you are going to be supporting the mitochondria. It's one of the simplest ways of taking it. And you want to use a low dose of manganese, not a high dose, 8 to 10 milligrams with the zinc. Now, again, until I find more information about manganese, because a lot of things that we've been told as far as dosing goes, so far, up to this day, has all been wrong.
Oh, I'm shocked.
It's a shock. Yeah,
I'm shocked. It was wrong.
The reason why I tell people a lot of times five times a day is for that one of that reasons. Because one, you're taking something five times a day or every 3 hours, you maintain it in the bloodstream. And two, the research that I have found on it is the majority of the things that you need to take in order for it to be effective in treating or fixing or curing or healing or whatever, however you want to define it, is you got to take 5 to 10 times the amount that they're suggesting. So they tell you on the package you take one or two a day.
Right.
That's
yeah.
not going to do nothing but sustain you where you are, if that. So when you start doing what I've seen over the years anyway, whether it was for cancer, autoimmune, hepatitis, respiratory issues, digestive issues, whatever, the magic number has always been 5 or more in a day. And that's when you start seeing the impact of these things actually work and turn things around.
Yeah.
You know. So,
yeah, I agree with you on the dosage, too. I mean, even my Ayurvedic doc from India, if we're talking about something and I say, well, how many, can I do with that? And he said, well, if you're doing an acute thing, he said, you take as much as you want. You could take the whole bottle. It's not going to hurt you. If you want, just do it. This is the third part of this question. What are the most effective ways, writes this person, to repair and erase wrinkles and get rid of little brown spots on my temple? The Temple of Doom. All right. I think you've mentioned, let's do the brown spots first. You've mentioned those. Those are typically liver stuff, liver?
Could be liver or could be glycation, either one.
Mm-hmm.
Glycation basically is when the sugar and the proteins bind together and then getting hit with the sun can cause these damages. Or liver spots could also be toxins coming out of the liver. But the simplest way to remove those is either add citric acid or ascorbic acid or MSM,
right.
making a poultice of it, put it on there, and that should break it up. Or you can put a little enzyme activity, mix some enzymes in there with it that will break it up. An amyloid. Yeah, because again, when we're looking at things that we take internally, we can sometimes use those things externally as well, and they
right.
do the same thing.
Right.
There was one doctor years ago that was actually injecting hydrochloric acid into people to treat cancer, and he had a high success rate when he did it.
Huh.
And again, they went after him because
of
course,
yeah.
too many people.
Yeah.
But again, you can use these things.
So you could just mix citric acid with some of our sulfur and have a little. It would be a liquid. So you just smear that on the spots, right?
You could do it that way. You can mix it with a little alcohol and then just spray it on there like a mister, and then just again. Mm-hmm. And then layer it, do it every so many couple hours, so you keep it on there so that it can work its way down. You can also use the salt and vinegar pack if you want to use it that way. So there's lots of options.
And then again,
change the diet. Whatever you do, get off the grains. And this has been the mantra I've been saying for years. No grain, no pasta, no rice, no corn, no cereal. Not even the pseudo grains that they mentioned, like the quinoas, millets, buckwheat, spelt, all that. It's all bogus, all of it. So when you're looking at the impact these things are having on your anatomy, you need to avoid them. Like I said, these things have components in them now that will, attack the genetic code.
Could you put a little drop of DMSO in that formula for the?
Yeah, you don't even have to use the MSM. Just mix the DMSO.
Same thing. And then other question about wrinkles.
Well, wrinkles again have to do with copper.
Lack of copper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the best combination for that would be a zinc copper combination. So 1 teaspoon of chlorophyll, which is sodium copper, mm-hmm. and 30 milligrams of your zinc, and do that several times a day. That will produce SOD, which again has an anti-aging effect.
Boy, you put that copper liquid chlorophyll, which I really like. I like to drink it for my tummy. You put that on your face, you're going to have a green face for about 2 days.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Sure. He says sure.
I make my own now. I buy the raw material and I make my own. So. Yeah. Oh yeah. If you spill the stuff out, it's green everywhere.
No, I know. I'll drink some. Sometime in the middle of the night, I take a shot of that. Just for my little tummy, it's kind of fun. And man, I wake up and my teeth are all green and my tongue's green, and I got to get the hydrogen peroxide solution and clean up. Don't go out with green teeth. It's just people just tend to look at you funny. Wrinkles.
I can imagine what comes out the other end, all green.
Well, you just don't want to even think about it. It's just it's a nice little product. I think it's Now brand, Tony, the chlorophyll that I like. Nice little brand.
Yeah,
product.
There's a couple good brands. I like the Bernard Jensen's because he's got a one that doesn't. I mean, his is basically citric acid and chlorophyll and glycerin, I think. And there's nothing else in it. So this is one of the things I like about it. I've looked at the Now. I'm not sure what. I don't remember what's in it, but again, there's a lot of good companies out there. Just shop around, read the labels. Yeah,
and then if you something there you can't pronounce, just go, wait a minute, no, I don't know. Okay, Ellen. Is
actually, it, you know what? That is smart advice, really. What you're saying, you're making light of it, but really, that is really sound advice. If you do not know what it's saying, don't buy the product. Write that name down. Go look it up. Okay? Don't buy the product. If you don't know what it is you're putting inside your body, you shouldn't be putting it in there. So, what Patrick is saying there is actually sound advice. If you see something on there that's, way beyond your vocabulary, then you shouldn't be buying that product. I don't care what the advertisers are saying or what the gurus are saying or what these telemarketers are saying. If you do not understand what you are buying, do not buy it.
Also, natural flavors. There's no telling what that is. Be careful with that one. What's some more Tony's that they've used over the years? Let's see. Natural flavors.
Natural and artificial flavors.
Yeah. Here's one. Organic canola oil. That's one.
Yeah.
That's close.
Hey, what's even better than that?
What?
Organic maple syrup.
Oh, well, isn't it all organic?
Yeah.
Okay.
It all comes from a maple.
See, but I do buy the organic. So they get me, boy.
More organic than the other one. This is. I looked at that in the store once. I said, I know it was with my mind, but look at this crazy thing. Maple syrup. They're going to say this one's organic and this one. They're both coming from the maple tree. Same company.
I guess they get the government out there to certify their little trees are organic and they put the label on there. I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Stupid stuff like that you should be picking up on.
Sure. Yeah.
Just because you see the word organic doesn't mean it's good or safe. That doesn't mean anything.
And it doesn't mean you're going to have an orgasm after you take it?
I could possibly.
I see. It just depends on how you use it, I guess. Yeah. You have to get creative there. Okay, this is from Ellen in Santa Barbara. Use your imagination, folks. What strength and what brand of a good quality microscope, would Tony recommend for someone who is an informed layperson? I would like to be able, for instance, to swab a wound, identify some of the microorganisms, something affordable, like a few a few hundred bucks maybe. Is that possible? Thanks for all your work.
If you go on Amazon, they do have what they call a CAM scope.
A CAM scope?
Now you got to be basically it's like a microscope. It's got an 800, you can get them 500, 800, and 1,000.
Okay, I'm on Amazon now. Let me go on there and do that and see while you're talking. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And they go for about $30 usually, plus shipping.
A cam scope?
U.S. funds. I believe they're called a cam scope.
Okay,
basically, they're like a little, you plug them into a port in your computer. They'll actually take pictures, so you can put them on your desktop or in a folder. You can zone right in. You can see things that normally you don't see. I've used those things in the past. I've seen under a blue light. I've had a blue light on my arm with one of those scopes, and I saw all kinds of multicolored patches on my skin that got there from the air.
But would you know what it is, though, or you're just going to look at a bunch of stuff and you wouldn't know what it is? It sounds like she wants to know what it is or be able to identify.
Well, she said she needs a scope to identify. So this is the cheapest, easiest scope she can buy to help her with identifying whatever's going on. But she wants to get more elaborate. She can get a 1500X or 2500X, and they can go anywhere from $225 to $350. So that's the cheapest route there is the other one.
Yeah, I put in cam scope in Amazon, Tony. Nothing came up. Now I'm putting in 1500 up microscope. Let's see what comes up. Well, here's one for $135, Radical 1500X Cordless Vet Lab Microscope, LED lamp, a 100X. Well, that looks like that would do the trick, right?
No, 100X isn't really that big, Patrick.
With 100X oil, right, stage. Okay, this is 1500 cordless, 1500X.
Yeah. Oh, 1500. Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
That's what you want.
That would be good.
That's
now, but then you could actually look in books, Tony, or go on the internet and see what little bugs you're looking at.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah. You'd be surprised. Oh yeah.
Oh,
I got a 60X that I keep on me all the time. Mm-hmm. And when I'm pulling stuff out of my skin, I get to pull out these wonderful microchips and fibers and everything else.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it gets to be a lot of fun. Anyway, with that, you can see the...
you could go to a party and share and see what you have.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, a lot of us, a group of us have gotten together, and that's exactly what we do. We look at some of the stuff that is coming out of us.
That's compare.
Well, this is becoming more pronounced now, Patrick. My emails are becoming more and more on the topic of nano poisoning. And so when they're showing, people are showing, I had one woman send me a picture, and I'm not kidding you. That back of her leg where her calf was completely spotted with this luminous crystalline material that was inside of her body.
Mm.
Those were quantum dots that got inside of her that was breaking her down. She's actually starting to mutate because of the composition of these nanoparticles. So they've never been tested either. This is the thing.
The nano stuff's never been tested, right? And they've been making nano stuff for, 20 years? 30 years?
Go back to 1960.
Wow, man. What happened in 1960?
Yeah, they've been manufacturing a lot of this in the last 20 years, but never been tested. They're finding more and more that any of these products that are in the nanos, any metal that's nano, doesn't matter what it is, silver, copper, gold,
iodine,
whatever. Magnesium, calcium, potassium, if it's on a nano level, it does not work the same as something on a bigger level, on a micron level. They have a completely different method in their operation.
Wow.
And so the big thing you're going to see, it's already started, and I tell everybody, I got a buddy of mine, I tell me we've already jumped the gun on this. We're way ahead of them on this one. So they can just look at our videos and see the lethality of these nano components that they're now wanting to use to fight cancer. And if you go on PubMed now, you're seeing more of these research coming up there where they're adding it to turmeric or they're adding gold to green tea or whatever. Any nano you put in the system will kill everything. Doesn't matter if it's cancer, doesn't matter if it's a healthy cell, doesn't matter if it's a tissue. They get lodged in the brain. These start causing serious high levels of oxidative damage to the brain. That's why so many of you are having problems with memory, because you're having parts of your brain being burned out. So they also damages your liver, damages your spleen, damages your kidneys, your skeletal structure. None of this stuff was meant for consumption. They're spraying nano silver, I believe, in the grocery stores. So you have to be careful what you're buying.
Yeah, they spray it on the meat, don't they? Even on the meat, yeah.
So you got to be careful with this because I got to tell you something. I was looking at a research last night on silver. Yeah, I just happened to locate this document, and they just started doing studies with it since the early 60s and 70s. You know, and so when you looked at these studies, they were really jaded. I mean, badly jaded. When they were using an ionic silver, they were using a silver nitrate or silver acetate. In other words, they're using something that would produce nitric oxide or vinegar, basically an acetate. And so they compared them to nano silver, and they found that both of them, the ionic and the nano, were extremely lethal. Now, but the ionic was more lethal than the nano, I found.
Yeah.
That was in the 70s. Now, in the 80s and 90s and current, it has flipped over to the nano silver now being more lethal, because at that time, because it never was tested, they didn't know what the nano could do. Now, then when they saw what it was doing to the environment, what it was doing to the ecosystem in the lakes and streams, what it was doing in the fields, what it was doing to people, they saw how much more deadlier this stuff was. One of the shows, after one of your shows, a lady that listened to your show contacted me and said that she did a consultation and she bought a product, and I just call it SS. Mm-hmm. And this product she used had a protein-bound silver, which was supposed to mitigate any kind of uptake or absorption. Anyway, she had silver poisoning after just 2 months' use of this. And I said, well, how much did you use? And wow. Very little. Because the way nano works, it's not the big particle that causes the problem. The big particle will attach itself to the myelin of the cell. It will release its ion or its discharge and then goes away. With nano, it bypasses the myelin and saturates. We're not talking one or two, metallics. We're talking thousands of them get into the cell and literally choke the cell to death. So it doesn't work the same at all. And they, again, according to the research that I saw, the ions is one of the things that causes the problem. So when you're looking at the level of toxicity, it would all depend on how much is in there, the charge it's putting out, what it's bound with. And there's a lot of factors, and the size and shape of the particles, because no two nanoparticles are exactly the same, unless they manufacture them to be. So when you're looking at some of the stuff that you're going to be reading on nano, and I'm telling you this to save me a lot of headache, because you're going to be calling me saying, help, I took this stuff and now I'm dying. You know, I'm going to help you try to prevent this so that you don't call me for that.
I hate it when that happens. Okay, we got to do a little break here. Stay right there. Tony Pantelaresco, OneRadioNetwork.com. We've talked about Gary Hanna. He lives in Austin. Really a good man. He's definitely one of us. He saved his son using some clays. They sent him home with Marissa, and he made these different clays, and his son just started getting better and better, and he's been on this stuff ever since the last 20 years. Now, he makes some metal products, silver, gold, copper, magnesium, that are single-atom particles, much, much smaller than nanoparticles. They use 20,000 volts, high current, the highest AC method, and not DC, and 99.99999% pure, triple distilled water, no contaminants, glass, no refrigeration, and this is the real deal. And he's totally on board with Tony when it comes to nano. When I asked him about it, because that's the first thing I questioned him on when I saw his product, and first thing, and he was all over it. He knows the dangers of nano. This is nowhere near nano. This stuff is not going to clump up in your body. It's crystal clear, and you can get some PPMs that are off the charts if you want to pay, and it's expensive. I don't know if you need that high. But you can get 100, 750 is a good one. I got some 6,000 one time, and I ended up just diluting it with distilled water because it was really expensive, and I just didn't need that much. But I nebulized some 6,000 ppm monatomic silver, and it was pretty trippy. This is the real deal, folks. If you're going to go out and buy some colloidal silvers I think probably everything on Amazon is probably nano. I don't know. I have not checked them all out, but be careful. And if you click on the front page of One Radio Network, it is called Nature's Pure Organics. You'll see a phone number there, and you can call and order from Gary Hanna. He's got copper, he's got magnesium, selenium, gold, and silver, and pretty trippy stuff, and it's the real deal that you can trust. Previously on our show, we talked to the now legendary Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt, and he mentioned sulfur. He's a fan.
The conditions in our world and our environment are changing so dramatically that people need to have a whole host of self-help tools and methods, and I'm very thrilled about your version of MSM. It's a right way to go. You know, sulfur is part of most of the detox enzymes, and the critical part that is right now we have a much, much higher need of healthy sulfur than we had even 10 years ago. And so I followed your work a little bit, you know, that you're on the right track with what you are promoting.
Well, Dr. Klinghardt, we've heard from thousands of people over the year how they really love this product. You can click and order our Pure Sulfur, three prices, United States, Canada, and worldwide right here, or email me, Patrick, at oneradionetwork.com for a discount for more than £4. Pure Sulfur, one of the few places where you can get this product. OneRadioNetwork.com. Yeah, baby. If you like more than £4, we give a discount. Some people order 8 and 9 pounds. We give 15% and get 10% from 4 to 7 pounds. We ship all over the world. It's never often, most often it's not a problem. We've had a couple cases in, I guess, 3 years now where it didn't go through and then we just resend it or something. But it's a pretty easy way to do it. If you live Canada, we ship it all over. We ship to Korea, just everywhere. Pretty cool. If you'd like to try some of our colostrum, Tony's spoken of this product, not necessarily ours. I don't think he knows ours particularly, but just in general. There's a lot of colostrums out there. We'd like you to try ours if you're interested. It's a very good one. Of course, non-GMO. It's nature's most complete food. This is a third-party verified 6-hour colostrum. Immune factors kind of off the charts. It's never been defatted. Very low temperature spray. It's a long shelf life, and you can get it in powder. You can get. We recommend you get the kilo, the 2.2 pounds. For those of you who didn't homeschool, a kilo is 2.2 pounds. Yep. Immune function, growth factors, muscle stuff. It's really a nice product. I remember the very first time I tried it years ago. I opened up the container, and I got a whiff of what to me resembled breast milk. And believe me, is 6 kids, and I was the second oldest, I knew what breast milk smelled like. And I changed a lot of diapers from breast milk babies, and I knew what it smelled like. And it was pretty interesting, the smell that I got from that. It's a very clean, it's a lovely product. And it's colostrum, any of these are Thrival Link on links, sorry, on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Know the source on One Radio Network.
Well, I tell you what, I'm just gonna sing a little tune here. Yep. Take a big breath now, Karen.
Such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Sky got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. And the reason is clear, it's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. I'm on I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world.
Tony, I played that just for you because I like the line not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I know that's what you experience when you walk outside in Windsor. So I just played that for you, just to know it's possible.
Thank you. I said, you need to share what you're smoking with
me. Well, I'll send you up. I'll put it in an aluminum thing so it doesn't get irradiated. Hi, Patrick and Tony. Love the show. What can we use to detox the brain from aluminum and other metals that are raining down on us? Oh, I think we've kind of gone over it, but you can do it again. My son has toe fungi. What can he use to get rid of it? Okay, two questions. So we got aluminum in the brain overall. Breathing it down. Did we cover it good, or you want to do it quickly again?
A chelating agent, sulfur with sodium EDTA. You can do that. You can use sodium thiosulfate. You can use that as well, which is not a form of sulfur. Two sulfurs and a salt. You know, you can do even iodine will help displace aluminum out of the brain.
Oh.
Any magnesium products you take, it will do it as well. So again, these are things you can use. As far as toe fungus is concerned, how much sugar is this kid eating? And I mean by sugar,
yeah,
I mean,
see, kids shouldn't have toe fungi at a young age, right? That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign.
No, if you're feeding this child bread, stop. Cereals, if you're buying them anything from the grocery store,
stop.
That's called cereal. That's not even pig slop that they're feeding you. He should not, or she should not, be consuming this material. Nobody should be eating cereal. You should be feeding your kids in the morning some cottage cheese, some eggs, meat, fish, chicken, something with fat. This is going to hold them. If you give them all these cereal products with some oranges, if you do that, you know, what I call the TV breakfast. You know, a glass of milk, glass of orange juice, a bowl of cereal, a quart of milk in the cereal, and then you have toast. That's nothing but a pure sugar diet. And that's only going to last in the body about an hour. It's just like going out to a Chinese restaurant and you're loading your plate up with rice and whatever, and you eat everything and you're full at the moment. 20 minutes products, make sure they're clean. Over here where I'm at, I have not been able to find one protein product that doesn't have some kind of fiber material or some kind of crap in it. So the next option for you, if you can't find it either, start using gelatin. You can make broths out of it. You can put them in teas, coffees. You can put them in smoothies or collagen. Collagen is a little bit more expensive. It's a glorified gelatin is what it is, because gelatin breaks down into a collagen. So it's more readily uptaking. It's easier to absorb. But these are the proteins. These are the things that a child should be eating, you know, and you'll find that they're more alert. They don't get sick as often. They don't have health issues. And they shouldn't have, like you said, shouldn't have this kind of issue going on.
No, not as a kid, boy. That's not a good sign.
So that's an indicating of a bad diet. So anyway, to get rid of it, you might want to put topically some essential oils mixed with oil. You might want to start using more copper in the diet. Get some chlorophyll. Get that in them. You might also want to use maybe the salt pack with vinegar and salt. So, because they both will wipe out fungus, but change the diet. If you don't change the diet, this is going to be a reoccurring issue.
Thomas, I had one toe on my left. There was a little fungi thing that I've had for years and never could get rid of it. And I just start putting some straight turpentine, you know, the one we have in our store, little drops on there, Tony. And I also went up on the knuckle because somebody's told me that this stuff is probably up a little bit higher, you know, the fungi in there. And boy, it's really turning that thing around. And I've only been doing it for about 3 or 4 weeks. So, and that's so you can just drop that pure pine gum spirits on the toes of your kid.
But yeah, for sure. I mean, you can put kerosene on it. There's lots of essential oils. There's lots of ways of doing it, and you can treat it and knock it out. But again, if you're still going to be doing the same thing, it's going to come back again.
Well, you know, I think you're going to get a letter from the Kellogg's company after what you just said. So let us know and copy us on that.
Kellogg's, Post, and what's the other one? There's a third one. Quaker Oats, yeah.
And they're up near you, too. You got to be careful.
Oh, yeah. We used to have a Kellogg's factory in London, Ontario. They shut it down. I think they're running it all out of Michigan now near Coldwater, Michigan. But, yeah, these are not food. This is, again, a processed grain that's been genetically engineered. The TV doesn't lie.
I saw it on TV, so I don't think, I don't know why you're coming up with this, because I saw it. Oh, God. Okay, here's one. Hi, guys. Any suggestion on how to cure alopecia? What is it? Up on the sides of my head. A-L-O-P-E-C-I-A.
Oh, alopecia.
Alopecia. What is alopecia?
It's
hair loss, isn't it, of some kind?
Yeah. basically.
That sounds not good.
In the side of the head.
Yeah,
hmm, interesting.
The side, yeah. Hmm.
Okay, number one, I'd probably have you using more either onion in your diet or MSM and gelatin, because they will help in, again, hair regeneration. You might want to start using something called marjoram. It's a herb.
That's a good one.
Related to the oregano family. It will help block DHT. It's something you can use.
Okay, yeah, let's stop there for a second. That's a good thing. Marjoram, if you get the essential oil, that helps to block, what is it, DHT?
Yep.
Which can cause hair loss in the guys, we've read studies.
And women, too.
Oh, women,
and
too. Women, all too. Right, marjoram.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Marjoram, that's a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the reason why a lot of women are having male pattern baldness is because a lot of them are eating olive oil. And olive oil will boost testosterone, which then converts to a DHT. So this is where they're getting, this is why they're having the hair loss. I always tell a lot of women, are you eating olive oil, to get off it.
Oh, using butter. So for the guys, it's cool, but for the girls, not so much.
Well, if the guys, I mean, again, don't go crazy with it. I mean, it does have a lot of therapeutic properties, provided you're getting a real olive oil.
It's a real
oil,
deal, right? Yeah. And one of the things we recommend is you make sure that it's estate bottled, and it'll say that on there, which means that they're not generally bringing stuff in from across who knows where, you know, and dumping in the olive oil. But try to find some companies you trust. We have a good one at our store, but there's a lot of shaky things that go on in the olive oil business, Tony, around the world. So be careful.
It's the most counterfeit oil on the planet.
Be careful. You know. Be careful.
So,
hi, Patrick.
And if you're not sure
ahead.
About the brand,
yep, don't do
look it up to see if they have been popped for counterfeit.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Was a thing out years ago. They took it down. It was out of California. And they had a list of all the companies that had gotten popped for olive oil counterfeit, because sometimes it's not even olive oil. Sometimes it's canola oil that they added
olive flavoring or something to it. Yeah,
they added beta carotene and chlorophyll.
Oh, good.
To make it look like olive oil, and it smelled like but it wasn't olive oil. Some of them would cut it with sunflower oil. Some would cut it with soybean oil. Some of them would cut it with whatever, any cheap thing they can get, because again, there's only so many olive trees in the world right now. Arizona should be harvesting their olive trees and making money with it, with the state, because they got more olive trees there than you can shake a stick at. But they spray their olive trees with this chemical so that it doesn't produce olives. Because if the olives hit the ground, they leave a black spot, and it gets an eyesore, and people complain. And down there, sometimes some of the people there kind of wonder what they're smoking, you know. But that's one of those. Portugal, Italy, the Middle East,
Spain,
Spain and Greece. These are predominantly where they're getting the olives from. They're being processed in Italy, and then they're shipped over here. And if there's not enough to go around, it's going to get cut. Yeah.
We have an olive grove right across the street from me. You know, Texas is doing some really nice olive oil. It's perfect climate for it. You know, perfect climate for it. We got this rocky soil, you know, like over there, and the olive trees like to. Like an herb, Tony, they like to kind of fight for existence, you know? So the less you mess with them, the better the olives are, kind of thing. And, you know, we can go for months without rain here, and those olive trees just keep on going on. It's pretty cool. Yeah, this guy bought like 20, 30 acres right across the street from me, and he planted like a zillion olive trees. Isn't that cool to have that so right in your neighborhood? Kind of fun, yeah. Hi, Patrick. Go ahead.
Every part of that tree has benefits for
you,
too.
I know. It's nuts.
Everything.
Yeah. Hi, Patrick and Tony. Is it possible to make your own insulin?
It's possible if you know the chemistry to it. I right now don't know the chemistry. I mean, I don't know why you would want to use insulin. It acts like a hormone and can screw up your pancreas.
Sure.
If you've got a pancreas issue, diabetes 1 or 2, that's pancreatic damage. You may want to look instead to regenerate the pancreas by using bitter melon or nopal or Corella. This will actually restore the pancreas, and using something like Jerusalem artichoke, which when you eat the tubers, helps assist the Langerhans in the pancreas as well. And then using things like juniper berry, which will actually produce insulin for the body instead of targeting the pancreas. We have a diabetic formula on the YouTube that we did. You may want to go watch it. We show you how to make the formula, tell you the two supplements to use, acetyl L-carnitine or L-carnitine and alpha-lipoic acid. Combine that with that tea. Do it 5-6 times a day, and you may be surprised how your body will regenerate and come back around again. And again, no grains, no soy especially. Soy destroys the pancreas. It targets the area where the body produces trypsin, and it damages that part. So now you can't digest the proteins properly in the colon. So again, this is not something to be using. It is extremely lethal to the thyroid, thymus, esophagus, stomach area. So again, and pancreas, do not use any form of soy whatsoever when you if you're trying to treat this.
Oh man, you mean I'm gonna have to take back that gallon of soy milk I bought at the hippie food
store?
No,
you actually use that. You can use
okay,
soy.
Okay, good. I knew soy milk was good for me because I saw that.
Yeah, just put it in the garden. This is a great fertilizer.
That's right. Put it in the garden. Oh God, I remember this story. I don't know if you saw this, but years ago when soy milk became like the thing, right, the rage, late 70s, early 80s, the Philippines thought, oh, well, we'll just give the kids soy milk, right? And this is what we'll do. So they imported all the soy milk from the United States, billions of barrels and stuff, and they start giving their kids soy milk. And then they found out that these kids were menstruating when they were like 9 and 10.
Yeah.
It was crazy, you know. So I don't know if they're still doing it over there, but it'll really mess with their hormones, man.
Well, it's an endocrine disrupting plant to begin with, and then they spray glyphosates on it, and they spray organosilicates on it, which has nanocompositions to it, which then embeds itself into the very core of the fiber. You can't wash that off.
Wow.
Now, that's in it. So when they're processing this stuff, this is why I don't go into this whole thing with NATO or anything like that. This stuff's it's going to have it in there. I'm a bigger fan of serrapeptase or trypsin over that stuff as far as a good enzyme to use. So when you're looking at anything coming from soy, in my humble estimation, just leave it alone. It's just not worth it.
Do you think, before we go, we've gone through all the emails, two things before we go. Do you think, in general, things like serrapeptase or the pancreatic enzymes that Dr. What's his name, used to do, Nicholas Gonzalez for pancreatic cancer before he died an untimely death, but don't get me started. Do you think those are generally, Tony P., a reasonable thing for people to take if they're healthy and they're fine and just to take them, serrapeptase?
Yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, you can, like I said, you know, we were talking earlier when you were saying how you're telling people to use MSM twice a day. Well, that to me is a maintenance dose to make sure everything stays optimal and functioning.
If you want to
yourself
or do it more if you've got something going on, right?
That's right. Same thing with these enzymes. Mm-hmm. I mean, serrapeptase, initially what it was for when they brought it over from Europe in the United States and Canada, it was designed to break up any arterial plaque or any arterial buildup so that the heart wouldn't suffer with these issues. Mm-hmm. Now, initially, I think it was cardiovascular research that was the first one that brought it over. The problem with their product is it's too weak. But now, if you just want something for maintenance, that's a good product to use. Now,
like what would be a maintenance dose of serrapeptase? Any idea?
That's a 5 milligrams. So you took it once or twice a day, that's fine.
If you mean 5,000 milligrams or 5 milligrams?
No, five milligrams.
Wow.
It's a very weak dose. They measure, you got to remember, they measure enzymes either in USP units
ICC units. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So when you're talking, but they're putting it in a 5 milligram containment. So basically, that will have approximately 10,000 SU units. A 10-milligram pill will have 20,000 SU units. So there are some good products out there. What they're doing now is enterocoding them, which is crazy because the enzymes, because the coating itself could be an excipient. So now what happens is it can, again, especially if they've got silicon dioxide in it, it'll neutralize or negate any effect that the serrapeptase is going to do.
Oh, good.
So a lot of stuff, when they started with these excipients, this is their excuse for using them because they didn't get absorbed in the bloodstream. No, they didn't get absorbed there, but they got absorbed in the organs and the tissues. So they're actually reevaluating silicon dioxide now, supposedly. They're supposed to be reevaluating to do some real testing on it. But this is one of those things that, again, they threw it in there because, again, it was a cheap product. It made money. And the people in charge, the FDA, just said, here's a grass. Good. Go ahead. Use it. Yep. We're not even going to look. And that's what they did back then. They didn't really test a lot of these things. So a lot of the things that we're getting today, the big pitch is You got vitamin A to Z, all these herbs, all these bioflavonoids, blah, blah. So they give you the whole enchilada on what these things can do and how they can benefit you, how they can help you, and the research they've used to treat different things and the results they got in the lab with different of that. But then they forget to tell you that they added a natural artificial flavor, that they added TVP, HVP, HPP, which is soy. You know, they forget to tell you that they added a aluminum lake or titanium dioxide. And titanium dioxide, nanosilver, cadmium, is a form of castration for the male population.
Oh, good.
So, so basically when you take these things in, you're literally castrating yourself. So some of the reasons why some of you cannot get erected is because you've got damaged tubes inside your testicles that have been, again, wiped out because of these components. So this is something that, again, you need to pay attention to, especially if you're a male. They are not discriminating, you know, period. Whether you're a woman or a male, they are basically hitting you where it's going to hurt you the most.
So on enzymes, if you're going to do a serapeptase, if you could find a clean one, what kind of those little units would you do a day, or how many times a day do you recommend?
I might either go 20,000 or 40,000 units.
Okay.
And again, depending, if it's, let's say, a cancer or something like that, I would probably do 5 or 6 a day.
But just general, if you're good.
General, I may do 1 or 2, that's it. You know,
and what does it do other than eat up unwanted actors in the arteries?
Well, it actually can help you break down protein. Mm-hmm. It can actually clear up, I've used that to clear up fibroids with women. It works really good for that.
Uh-huh.
It works good for even for tumors even. So It has a lot of benefits. On my website, if you go there, if you look at the enzyme link, there's a, when you click on it, you'll see a serapeptidase, because that's what they used to call it. And you can see the list of things they used it for in Europe, on animals, on people, things they treated with it. It's one of the few enzymes that can actually help break down asbestos. Hmm. Asbestos is a silica component as well. So you've got something there that's really, really powerful. I don't see the need to use anything with natto in it.
Yeah. But you would take this away from food, right, so it doesn't digest the food as working on other things.
Yeah, if I'm working on, again, specifically targeting, yeah, I would do it on an empty stomach. The other one I would use would be trypsin.
Trypsin.
Yeah, that one, you look that one up. I mean, it's mind-boggling. Back in the day, they used to, when they did surgery on people, they would put trypsin inside the wound before they sewed you up. The reason being was that if there was any dead tissue, dead blood, or anything that didn't get out, or they didn't, you know, gauze out, that the enzyme would break it down so you wouldn't get the infections. This is why there are so many infections today, because they don't use those type of remedies anymore. They still use iodine, which is interesting enough. Before they cut you open, they dab you in iodine. But as far as treating any post infection that may come along, you're looking at, they're not doing anything. That's what they used to do. So again, to keep everything going, keep everything moving, keep everything breaking down, you might want to use any form of full spectrum enzyme. Pancreatic enzyme are usually the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
Now has got a good one.
Yep.
Or again, last I checked, it had a good one. Super enzyme. They actually upped the strength on that. It's pretty close to their pancreatic enzyme as far as strength goes. Now, again, read the labels. Make sure they didn't put an excipient in there or whatever. If the capsule is vegetable cap, throw it away. Mix it. And then what I tell people to do is take the enzymes and mix it in with your food. Mix it really well. So when you're consuming it, it gets down and, again, stimulates the digestion.
So you would actually, if you're healthy and you're not working on something, you would actually just put these pancreatic guys or something with your food.
Yeah.
Okay.
Better digest, and then add salt.
That's it. Wow.
Key reason.
Yeah.
Because salt produces hydrochloric acid. So all this nonsense about not eating salt is just pure stupidity.
Yeah. Okay. So lastly, I thought we'd just do a quick recap for a couple minutes. We get new listeners all the time, and you're always so dogmatic and absolute about grains. Just do the short story, if you would, about what you think has happened to grains and why you're suggesting that people get off them totally now. What happened?
Well, they should never have been part of the main staple, number one. They put them on the top of the food pyramid
right
now.
Yeah, the FDA or the USDA, they're always right on the top, right? You got to have all these grains.
Right on the top, which means this is by design going to cause severe hijacking. The grains today are all been genetically modified, or they're being sprayed with glyphosates, or they have incorporated into them some form of nanotechnology. That nanotechnology works with carbon. Carbon can be used as a ligand, which means it's a binding agent for nanoparticles to attach themselves to and then start to form constructs or networks in the system. The genetics of these grains do not work with your body. They cause severe disruption. They can cause hormonal damage, genetic damage. These are not something to be using anymore. You've not eaten a real grain or an organic anything since 1960, because this is when they started putting a lot of this stuff in. All your grains, your wheat has been modified 300 times. You're not even eating your original grain of wheat that we ate back in the 50s. Okay, and so whatever they're growing today is an abomination, you know, just like corn. Corn has also been modified so much that you're not even eating real corn anymore. As a matter of fact, when you eat the corn today, you're crapping half the cob out the backside. So it's not even being digested. So these things should not be consumed because of the contamination, because of the genetics, because of the glyphosates. You know, there's nothing good about them. I wouldn't even be drinking beer even. Beer does not go through a second distillation. I will drink vodka or brandy because they distill it twice. So the majority of those components are going to be completely gone. But beer is something that just ferments and then they sell. And that stuff will be explicitly in that kind of drink. So it's not something I would go out of my way for.
So you're not really happy even with organic grains?
Show me one.
Well, I don't know. I mean, how would you know if it's totally clean or it's got been contaminated, like you say? How would you know?
If you look at all the research on it, really? They're all being sprayed. Yeah, they're all being sprayed. I even had farmers I contacted in Manitoba. They contacted me, and they're telling me by law they have to spray glyphosates on the fields.
No, that doesn't make sense. On organic?
Patrick, even if you looked at the organic, okay, let's say we didn't spray, nothing. Okay, right. And so the farmer put it in the ground, you know, a real seed with whatever. Between the cross-contamination that you're going to get, there's no way a farmer is going to have a product that's organic. The bees, the wasps, the ants, the mice, the rats, the squirrels, the birds will be transforming it back and forth. They used to tell the farmers back in the day to grow a tree barrier around the field to protect their crop from being contaminated. But that didn't work. That didn't work at all. Matter of fact, like I stated before, there was a Canadian health department. It was down in the United States. I guess he was loaned to them, and he wanted to test the fields within 10 feet of the organic and non-organic. They fired him because he knew that there was a carryover to the other side. So there is no such thing as an organic grain. And then when you're looking at the chemtrails alone, okay, the Italians, we're going back to Italy now, did a video called Chemtrails, the Secret War. In their report, they show that 25 of the chemicals that are up in the atmosphere are on the field. So it doesn't matter what you're eating today in regard to whether it's meat or vegetable, you are going to get contamination. There's no way around it. This is why you need the sulfur. This is why you need these antioxidants. This is why you need these enzymes to neutralize some of the stuff that's in the food supply.
Keep it moving.
Meat does not cause cancer.
Yeah.
Okay? Eating vegetables does not cause cancer. Eating bread, not real bread, does not cause cancer, but it's what's inside of these things that is causing the reaction in the body to react the way it does, to create the mutation that it's creating.
Well, take care of yourself. Take some Tony's advice so you don't become an everyday robot, because you don't want to do that, because you never know.
There you go.
You have a little everyday robot kid, you know. He'll come out and say, Mom, he looks like a little everyday robot. I don't know what that is. All right, Tony, good job. It's always fun having you. We're jam-packed here this morning. Have fun up there in Windsor, Ontario. And your website is augmentinforce.com, right? Augmentinforce.com?
Yeah.
And then also on YouTube, just put in Tony's name and you'll find more stuff. Make your head explode. Okay, brother, take care of yourself. What?
One more link real quick. Independence.podomatic.com, because I'll put your show up there too.
Oh, good.
That we do.
Independence.
So, yeah, it gets both. Podomatic.com.
Podomatic.com. So that's what you use to do your pods, Podomatic.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, kiddo. Thanks a lot. Have fun today.
All right. You have a good day. Hey, thanks.
Hey, bye. Hey. Well, I'll tell you what. Yep. Thanks for your ongoing support. Tony mentioned sulfur a lot. We have a pure cool sulfur. If you'd like to try it, try it. Just go on OneRadioNetwork.com and order up. It's a good one. 2 pounds is the order. If you want more than 4 pounds, email me, Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com, and we'll rock and roll. We're going to talk about the ego tomorrow, as well as inflammation.
We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.